Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the BJJ podcast about jujitsu and life on and off the mat. I'm Jen Eads, a white belt full of curiosity and questions about all things jujitsu.
I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jujitsu purple belt obsessed with all things jujitsu.
I feel like this episode is a special treat.
Oh my gosh, it was such a treat. Like my cheek muscles hurt from smiling.
Right.
Like laughing. Yeah, it's going to be a great interview.
Yeah. So we were fortunate enough to have Jillian Davis from Women's Grappling Network join us for this episode of the podcast. And we talked about everything. Like we actually did talk about some jujitsu things.
I think so.
I feel like this really kind of captured that on and off the mats, all of the things.
Yeah. Like how, I mean, it's that all of our life kind of involving jujitsu and, you know, everything that goes around that too.
So Facebook and behavior and how to be a decent human being.
Yes.
And diet and competition and mindset.
Relationships.
Yeah. So you want to listen to this all the way through. Because there are some gems, particularly towards the end.
Yeah.
I think
it's great stuff.
And there might be some outtakes because AJ and I are struggling with words after recording multiple podcast episodes today.
What's my name?
Let's just jump right into this conversation with Jillian Davis.
My name is Jillian Davis. I live in New Jersey, in central New Jersey, which if you're from New Jersey is a contentious thing because the northern and southern parts don't think there is a central part, but here we are. I work and my daytime job is I do research at Rutgers University. And my husband owns a martial arts school and I help run that and teach there with him.
Yeah, I feel like that should be just our first question is because we were talking about it a lot, like how on earth do you do everything? You're a scientist, PhD, right? And a mother and you help run the school and still have time to mediate the internet.
that was sort of like a happy accident or, you know, maybe as time has gone on and the group has gotten humongous, maybe less of a happy accident, though I still enjoy it. My life has always been super crazy. I don't function well when doing too few things because I tend to procrastinate and be really lazy. And so the only way I've figured out how to function is to jam pack almost too many things in so that everything's like on a set schedule and I have a place that I need to be. And it just kind of keeps me honest and functioning.
I like that a lot. That might be who I am too.
I could see that.
I am definitely wicked lazy if left to my own devices, for sure.
Yeah, I could. I'm that person too, I think. That feels right. So tell us, like, how did the Women's Grappling Network start? How did you get started doing that?
Funny story. When I very first started training at my now husband's school, because I was that like creepy female student that, you know, ended up marrying her instructor. You know, that's me. I'm that person that you hate at the gym. So we started by putting my son in there because my son from a previous marriage, because he was like borderline obese, according to the pediatrician. And he's just a super sweet kid. And we were like, you know, we just need a way for him to defend himself. So we put him in the school and then I joined not too long after that. And the school itself wasn't really Brazilian jiu-jitsu centric at the time. Mm-hmm. It was more catch wrestling based and more submission grappling without an emphasis on Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And so as I, you know, browse the interwebs, I'm like, well, where do I find other grappling type people like me? And so that was how I stumbled across the Women's Grappling Network, which over time has become certainly more BJJ centric than I think it was initially. But Jessie, when she started the group, was doing more like Sambo based stuff. And I remember at the time she was like super excited that somebody joined that also like came up learning footlocks early as opposed to, you know, learning them later on.
Right.
And we just sort of bonded over that. And then over like my first year of being in the group, I would occasionally send her a message like, hey, you might want to check this thread. It's getting a little out of control. Or, hey, this person's being real asshat. We should, you know, you should probably do something about it.
Yeah.
And I had come from moderating online video game forums, which, by the way, are like the craziest, like anonymity on the internet is like a really powerful tool for really terrible people. So I came from a little bit of a different background, but I mean, the internet is the internet. And after a while, like one time jokingly, she's like, well, you know, you should just be a moderator with me. And I was like, nah, I'm pretty polarizing as a human being. I don't want to rub people the wrong way. Like, I prefer to just be able to speak my mind honestly. And she's like, no, that's cool. You can totally do that. And I was like, well, I mean, as long as, you know, you're okay with me setting the whole thing on fire, you know, fine, sure, you know. And it just kind of evolved from there. Like at first I just, you know, I didn't want to overstep because it was her group. So I would just mostly do like the membership approval stuff. And then over time she was very busy. She's also a PhD in chemistry. Nice. Mine is in microbiology. And so we have all these like things in common. The fact that we found each other on the internet is actually pretty amazing. We have a lot in common. I'm hoping actually to eventually get out to Kentucky and train with her. And yeah, so then it just was like, you know, I would hit her up about something and she would be too busy to take care of it. And I would just start taking care of stuff. And, you know, now it's like, well, I have a soapbox. I'm not happy with what's going on. I'm just going to climb on up there and, you know, pontificate. So that's, you know, how it's evolved over time.
I love that. I love when you get on there and you're like, oh, okay, guys, that's enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go mom mode on you because you're misbehaving.
Exactly. I shut that down. That's not what we're accepting here. I appreciate that a lot.
It's so hard sometimes because like I try to be at least somewhat professional with it, even though obviously it's not a paid gig.
Right.
But there are just sometimes where like somebody says something that's just so outlandish that all I can do is find that Robert Downey Jr. meme where he's rolling his eyes and just post it. It's like, as the moderator, that's like the thing I get to do. So it's like, you're just being ridiculous.
You're like, this is the nicest I can be. This is...
Right. The other things that I had thought about saying were not nearly as appropriate as this. So I'm just going to abuse my moderator privileges and be a bit of a jerk. So here we go.
That's awesome. Can we get back to how you and your now husband like started dating? Like, how did that all...
So it's a bit of like, so what I guess the question is your podcast like PG-13? Like, give me a like genre.
I think
of...
we tend to stay more in the PG-13.
I'm okay, good at editing.
Cool. I'm not going to say anything. I'm definitely not going to like NC-17 or anything. So I just, you know, wanted to make sure that it was, you know, okay.
Yes.
So long story short, I had been separated and divorced from my then ex-husband for like 6 or 7 years. And we had gotten married super young. He's an awesome dude. We just were not compatible long term. And so I took the time off to just sort of like focus on me, focus on my son, who I share custody with my ex with. We used to do family bowling nights even after we were divorced. Like, things are super chill. And so I was just like, you know, I need to get happy and functional on my own, or I'm just going to like continue being depressed.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I don't need a man. I am going to like walk around my house naked and not shave my legs for 6 or 7 years and just try to like figure out my life.
Yeah.
And so I enrolled my son in September and I was going to join not long after him. This was 2011, but I actually got chronic fatigue syndrome and I was like out of service for a long time. It was freaky scary and I was super exhausted all the time, but eventually it worked its way through. And I think end of December, mid December, I joined. And so he, at the time, I didn't really know anything about my husband other than like he was the head instructor and he's cute, right? Like, because obviously I wasn't gonna like, you know, I didn't pursue him because he was ugly, right? And he was like mildly funny, you know, he thinks he's very funny, but we'll go with mildly. And I just remember being like, you know, he's reasonably attractive and I'm starting to get healthy and lose weight. I'm feeling pretty good about myself, you know. So I totally booty called. Like, I did. And I, you know, I should be more ashamed of that than I am, but like, I'm the person who didn't have sex until I was married the first time. So I have a very like few number of partners. So this was so completely out of character for me that I can't, like, I really can't even figure out what was going through my head at the time. And the funny part was that like, I was really sure that I didn't like him, so that I had no concerns that a relationship would develop, that it would just be like a, you know, maybe a 1 or 2 or 3 and done type of thing.
Right.
And whatever. And, you know, and we talked about it and he was very professional. He's like, no, I don't know about like with a student. And I was like, no, you know, it's cool. Like, I'm not like that. And if we break up or we stop doing it for some reason, it's awkward. Like, I can go train somewhere else and like, don't sweat it. I'm an adult. Like, we can handle this.
That's fun.
And so we did that for like a while. And then I think we both started to like realize that, like, you know, when you're 6 months into the booty call, it might not be a booty call anymore.
Yeah,
right?
You may have moved on a little.
So, we might have moved on. And so we actually took a 2-week break from physical activities to just date and see if we liked each other as much as we kind of thought that we did. And then Sandy, the hurricane, rolled through the East Coast, and we were over his apartment. And by then, like, my son knew that we were dating. Mm-hmm. And so I just jokingly said to him, you know, ha ha ha, there goes the power. You know, if we don't kill each other in the next couple of hours, like, we might actually have a relationship here. And we didn't have power for 8 days.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was insane. So it was like super cold at night, and we're like parking cars at like public libraries to leech Wi-Fi and download episodes of Lost, because like, we don't have anything else to do with our lives. And the whole thing, like, you know, it's done after 8 days. And then we were just like, holy crap. Like, not only did we not kill each other, but like, we helped each other get through this in like pretty fundamental ways. He had aquatic turtles at the time, and he didn't have heat in the apartment, and they started hibernating. But my apartment had gas heat, so we were able to go there, boil water, rescue the turtle. Like, I mean, it was like a whole, you know, crazy, ridiculous thing. And yeah, and so then, no joke, because I'm a nerd, I gave him a PowerPoint presentation about how much money we could save by living together. Oh. And then when my lease was up, we moved in together.
I love that. That like is so superior to just a pro con list. It's like, right, it's a PowerPoint presentation. Like,
a PowerPoint presentation. And I think he was like super impressed that I had, like, at the time had hooked it up through his television. It was back before it was really easy to hook, you know, electronics up to your TV and stuff. So I was like, you know, look, I have skills, you know? Yeah. So, and that was that. And we moved into his apartment, put all my stuff in storage. And then after a year, when things were still good, I like got rid of all my stuff in storage, and that was that.
Nice. So as a gym owner, cause you know, we have a couple gyms ourselves, does, you know, you guys getting together, does that affect your policy on like coaches and students dating at all?
So we don't really have to worry about this at the moment, because we only have 4 coaches, including me. One of them is my now 17-year-old son, who just helps with the kids' classes. The other one is my husband, and the other guy's married. So thankfully, this is like not really something that we have to concern ourselves with. But even when Gary and I were quote unquote seeing each other, and I'm pretty sure everybody knew we were seeing each other, even though we thought we were being super sly
of
about
course.
It. We like the school is off limits. And even as a married couple, we joke around like no sexy time at the school. Like at the very most, even when we're alone in the building, it's like a quick peck on the lips. Like, the school is sacred ground. And I think that as long as we had other adults that could operate under the same premises, we would probably be okay with that. But just like anything else, if you identify a cancer in your space, you kill that, right? You have to. So
yeah, definitely. That's very interesting. So you know, we've been open, our gym's been open about 20 years. So we have some pretty strict policies on coaches dating students, because we've had issues in the past. So
right, of course, right? All policies are born from going haywire, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's not like we have rules just for the sake of having rules.
Right.
We have rules because that happened once and it was not
and
good.
It didn't go
right?
well. So. Exactly. And then it was a problem, and then it's like, well, now this is a policy. So yes,
correct.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Okay. Do you remember when we first met?
Putting
you on the spot.
I feel like maybe we met at a New York Open.
Very close. It was Nogi Pants.
2014. Nogi Pants.
Yep.
So I knew it was New York and I knew it was IBJJF, but I didn't. It's so funny. Before we got on the call, I'm like, I didn't fight her at the 2014 New York Summer Open, did I? And I'm like Googling real quick. And I was like, oh, no, that was Lizette. Okay. Like, I just, because, you know, for a while, we were all in Masters Ones and we were just all thrown together and it was, you know,
So
it was the Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. So we actually, we didn't compete against each other, but we were in the same open. And so after the podium, I think you had won and I got third, and you introduced yourself and you were just so nice. And I feel like it was the first time that, like, after a tournament, I made a friend, you know, like, it was just the first time that, you know, like, just sometimes... before then, like now, I feel like I make friends all the time at tournaments, but at that point, like, I was still somewhat newer to competing, and it still felt like a very, you know, polarizing thing. But yeah, you were just so nice. And I was like, I love this girl. She was so sweet to me.
Well, it's been mutual over the years. It's very mutual over the years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like a that's my part of the reason my MMA name is Scare Bear is because Scare Bear. A, I like Care Bears more than any 37-year-old should like Care Bears. And B, because like, as people are always like, oh, you're so intimidating, or like, and I think I just have like this really sort of on my face all the time without really intending to, but I'm a hugger. Like every tournament, I'm like, hi, let's be friends. Are you from New Jersey? I haven't opened that one.
Yay! I love
let's
that.
Cuddle, you know, and every once in a while I encounter an opponent who's totally not down for it. And I'm like, oh, get over yourself. It's just fucking tournament. Right? Like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I only once had a bad experience where like I felt like I was friends with the girl going into the tournament, and then I beat her and she was so hateful afterwards. Like, for months she kept posting online about it. She was writing articles about it. Like, she was not happy that she lost to me, and it was just the strangest thing. I was like, this is not who we are as a community. Like, I don't know. Right. I just thought it was really like, it was a one match, girl, like get over it.
It's funny you say that, because I have a friend that I came up with who's just a little bit behind me rank wise. And at my very first tournament in the gi, when I finally decided, hey, I'm going to do this gi thing, even if I just do no gi stuff in the gi, we went up against each other. And at the time, she would get real salty when she lost. Like, anytime she lost to somebody, she would unfriend them and she would block them. And I had just so much anxiety going into the tournament, because I'm like, we're still going to be friends.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. It's just a tournament. Yeah. We still laugh about it to this day, because we weren't super close at the time, and we've gotten closer over the years. And we now we look back and we kind of giggle. I'm like, poof, I dodged your purge list back in the day when you get really...
Ugh. Yeah, it really, like, because I've always hated fighting friends, and you know, like, it's gonna happen. You come up together. We're still a small community. You're gonna fight your friends, and I've always correct. Hated doing it. And it's, you know, because of instances like that. You know, like that's why I don't like fighting friends. It sucks afterwards. Not always. Sometimes right. it's great. You know, I just fought a girl a couple months ago in Nashville, and we've been friends forever, and we're still just as good of friends. Like, it didn't change anything.
Right, like, it's like 5-6 minutes. We had I remember when I did no-gi pans at Purple Belt, Doug Klein, the photographer, caught a picture of me with the rest of my division, and we're all sitting in the like bullpen waiting to get called out. We're all gonna have to fight each other, and we're like clearly BSing and having a great time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're just, you know, like, it's just gonna be a 6-minute match, because I had to fight adult that day, which, by the way, sucked. Uh-huh. But yeah, you know, it was like, well, whatever, 6-7 minutes, and then life is over, and you know, all things move on. It's just not a big deal.
Right.
Yep,
it's just jujitsu. Can I ask, how old are you?
I am 37. I turned 38 in January.
Okay, nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm 40, so I'm just
enjoying my time at Masters 2.
Yes. I'm in January, I get to enter into Masters 3, so I'm real excited about that.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Where there's even less people.
Right, exactly. Where I'll still go down to like one, because there's no one to fight against.
So like, how many Masters right. does That's that a, make me?
You're Masters 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Jen has only done local tournaments so far, so of course she's only fighting adults.
Right.
right.
And, but I think we're going to
Are they
for.
Adults? Because they feel even younger than that to me.
I know.
I have to tell you, this last weekend I did Naga, mm-hmm. and there was nobody at my age and weight. And so they gave me somebody in the 40-year-old division who is 30 pounds heavier, who I've gone against quite a few times because she often doesn't have a competitor. Right. And then they gave me somebody down at adult at 139. And I'm like, she's half my age. Like, oh, God.
Right? Exactly.
You know, and it's like, not only is she half my age, but she's only a year and a half older than my son. Oh. And it starts to get like really weird at that point.
Yes. Yep.
I'm assaulting someone else's child, and I'm going to stand on a podium and celebrate myself for it when it's over.
Right.
I'm very excited.
We live a weird world. Yeah. It's very strange. Well, recently at a tournament, Jen had to fight not only a friend, but kind of the girl that got her into jujitsu.
Right.
Who is also 17 years younger than you. Yeah. 17 years younger. So, you know, like, it was all the things. Like, she's basically fighting a child and a friend. So yeah, it's tough. It's very tough.
Yeah. But we made it through that.
Do you have problems at all nerves wise with competing?
Not anymore. So when I first started, I did. And when I came back from my time off with this pregnancy, I actually had a lot of anxiety. And so the way I took care of it the first time was to just overcompete. I sometimes did 4 tournaments a month. So I was competing every weekend.
Nice.
And I would compete at whatever weight I was walking at. And I would compete whether I felt well or I didn't, not like contagious unwell, right, but just not wanting to compete or whatever. And I just got to the point where once I started to realize, wow, like nobody is watching me and nobody cares, right? Like my crew cares and my people care. And that's wonderful. I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, like I am paying my money to take home a $5 medal. Right. And that is the end of the whole thing. Right. Coming back from pregnancy was different because I had put on so much weight due to a complicated pregnancy and decided to that for myself in terms of getting my weight down. And also for my son and my daughter and the kids at our school, I felt it was important that they see me compete even at 185 pounds, super sloppy as I was coming down from having gained all of that weight. And not only that, I did no gi pants. And not only that, there were no masters. So I went down to adult and it was terrible for sure. And I had a lot of anxiety about being on the bottom and having people on top of me. A, at the higher weight, those girls are legit strong. Mm. They're not sloppy heavy like I was coming down from pregnancy. They're just either super tall or, you know, yep, built, whatever. And I think that because I got my brown belt officially during my pregnancy, like I didn't really feel like I had broken it in at all before I went out. And I had a pretty good record grappling wise before I went out. And I felt the pressure of that coming back. And a lot of my game is to play inverted. And newsflash, when you're 185 pounds, you choke on your own fat. It's no bueno. So I had to learn how to play differently and how to develop other things. And so there was a lot of anxiety with that. And then once I got over myself, because anxiety is just like a nice way of saying you have an ego problem with potentially losing. I really think that that's ultimately the case. Once I got over that, my game sort of exploded because I had to adapt to this whole different body. And then when I got back down to being normal sized me, I got to keep all those new skills, but I thankfully lost the anxiety of just feeling like I was choking all of the time.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing.
That's awesome.
Now, usually I'm just more worried about the other people competing that day. And if Gary will be able to make it over to my ring while he's coaching the other students. And it's not really a big deal if he can't, but he gets disappointed if he doesn't watch the match. And so, you know, there's just all of those logistics of being coaches and competitors simultaneously that make for headaches.
Yeah. How has that affected your competition? Like being a coach, do you think it takes away from your ability to train for competition?
So I think it's inevitable that as you move up in rank, depending on the rank of your students that are coming in, that it gets harder to find people that can give you good training, right? Not in the sense that it's not worthwhile to roll with lower ranked people. It's absolutely worthwhile. I can work things that are new to me. It makes for good roles with those people. But in terms of testing my A game, in terms of getting ready for the tournament, my husband is my best rolling partner and my son's getting pretty gosh darn good too.
Nice.
So thankfully for us, like, we can just go over to the school because like we own it,
right?
And we can just family train, you know, we can bounce the baby between, you know, whoever's sitting out and we can just, you know, go for it. So in that aspect, it's not so bad, but just between juggling family life and school life and work life, like I used to train 5-6 days a week and now I train 2 to 3 and I'm totally cool with it. It's working for me.
So going back to the Facebook group a little bit, I'm so glad I can edit this. gosh, what has been, as a moderator, what has been one of the most challenging things about trying to foster that culture of support and encouragement and empowerment? You want people to have an opinion and a point of view,
yes,
but kind of walking that line of, you know, don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and Jesse and I talk about it often, but it's like, God, if we, like, I don't understand why the rule can't just be don't be a d-, and like, that's just it. And everybody just understood what that meant and like followed along. But it's the internet, right? And so we have to understand that there are going to be delicate subjects and there are going to be opinionated people on those delicate subjects. And some of them are going to be people whose opinions I'd rather flush down the toilet, right? And so it's trying to keep all of it together. For example, often one of the topics we get is the transgender topic,
yes,
right? And as a geneticist, like these are things that I have some knowledge on. I'm not a complete subject matter expert, but I probably have more than the guy watching Fox News, right? Just a little bit. And so it's like trying to figure out how to say, like, it is completely acceptable for a member of the group to say, I don't want to go up against a transgendered woman, because that's fine. I don't want to fight a child. Everybody doesn't want to fight somebody. So people are allowed to say that. That when we talk about personal freedom, you have a right to choose what you do.
Right.
You're just not allowed to phrase that opinion in a way that makes someone else feel not good about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so when I read a comment and I look at it, I go, does this make me not like you? Like, would I consider hitting you? And if the answer is yes, then I either delete the comment or make a post, or, you know, depending on where it's going, right?
Yeah.
Like, when people start getting into the, like, super uneducated, you know, we're talking about a transgender woman and they keep calling her a he,
mm-hmm.
like, no, you can't do that here, right? Like, you have a Facebook page. Here, we're going to honor who people are, right? And that's just going to be it. But it makes for this, like, weird line, too, when people apply for access to the group, because we only allow women in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, where is the line for that in 2019? How far down the path of transitioning do you need to be for me to approve your membership to a female grappling group?
Right.
Being fair to you as identifying as female, but being fair to the females in the group, because maybe you don't seem so committed to that. Like, I just looked through your pictures and 2 weeks ago, you weren't identifying as a female. And so, like, I have to weigh the benefit of, you know, allowing you into the group and the effect it might have on the other members and how polarizing that event might be. And it's not always an easy call.
Right.
No. And bless you for even, you know, like, I mean, really, like, taking the time to do it and letting it weigh on you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like taking it, like, that responsibility.
It's crazy. It, like, will irk me.
Yeah.
I'll put my phone down. I'm like, ugh. Gary's like, your group, huh? I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it right now.
Man.
Give me a little bit to think about it.
I mean, I do that and I'm not a moderator.
I actually wouldn't have Facebook anymore. I believe it. And then it's also the balance of, like, I grew up on the internet back when it was primarily, you know, nerds on the internet. And so there were rules back in the day for, like, forum-based stuff. You know, mm-hmm. you should search before you read, because we don't want to read your post if we just read it the other day, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, and it's like, oh my God, is it really another period cup post? OMG, I can't even deal with this right now, you know? And so I try to, like, make light of it to the extent, like, so we made the rule that if somebody has posted about it in the last 48 hours, your post will get deleted, which I think is fair.
Yes.
And then, you know, you can't go much more than that, because, A, searching on the internet, like, who's on their phone trying to search the form? It's not really set up for that Facebook-wise.
Yeah, so right.
I don't want to say that, like, you know, you should be able to find the post from 2013, because that information is probably outdated anyway, and whatever. And so, like, we're trying to be fair with not making the subjects come up over and over and over again. But also to be fair to the new people, like, yeah, you know, you would have had to dig pretty hard to find that. So it's okay that you post it again. And then in the in-between, just to sort of bring everyone's attention to the fact that it happens, anytime there's a post that I don't like, I'm like, I'll take 10 period cup posts over this, like, you know, just as, like, a reminder, guys. Use the search function.
I have seen you post that. That's great.
Right.
How much, one, extra work, but also, I don't know, weight has starting to do the anonymous posts been for you?
So at first it was really hard, because I was very upset. So the event that prompted anonymous posting was a woman came into the group and posted a very deep post that she basically felt taken advantage of by a teammate. She didn't come all the way out necessarily. And I'm trying to remember, because it's been a while, but I don't recall her really painting it as, I guess, what we would call overt rape. But as a woman, we know that there's still other forms of non-consensual sex that are certainly a little more gray than just, you know, the standard, right?
Yeah.
And so she had gone on a date with a guy, and the guy was a little too forward, and she made it seem like she was clear about she wasn't interested, and things happened that she didn't want to happen, mm-hmm. right? She didn't list her school. She didn't list the guy. And so, fine, I'm not, I have to be careful about letting people point fingers right. in a too particular way, mm-hmm. right? Because as a business owner, I'm sure you guys will understand, like, there's got to be some line right. somewhere, right? We can't, if a member, it's a group of 8,000 people, there's power in that to destroy someone's livelihood. And so we have to try to be fair on that end.
Yeah.
And so this woman's post didn't bother me, though. I read it. I didn't think anything was really identifying in it. I wasn't friends with her. I went to her profile, couldn't really figure out where she trained, which I felt was probably a good thing. Right. And, you know, great. So she needs help. She needs support. I am overwhelmed and upset by the women who are like, basically, like, you asked for it, because, hi, it's 2019 and yeah. we're going to be a little more supportive than that, right? Like, come on now. And then somebody well-known in the BJJ community, it got screenshotted and sent to that person, mm-hmm. who then shared it as an Instagram story and blasted this poor girl, didn't remove her identity, blasted this poor girl for her post. And so let's just take a step back. Yes, it's a closed group. I understand we have quite a few people in it. I understand that at any point in time, somebody can screenshot and move stuff out of the group. We don't like when people do that. We don't allow people to do that, but I can't control people right. doing yeah. that. But our reach is limited in the sense that we are a group of women, for women, by women, and it's an internal community. I don't often see much of our stuff floating around in other places. I think for the most part, we have a pretty good community as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But hello, popular person in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yes, when you post it in your Instagram story, now it's viral. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, the one thing you were complaining about this woman doing, you did.
Yeah.
It wasn't a problem until you did that. And I was furious, absolutely furious, because no, nobody should be sharing the content from our group outside of the group, right? Right. Like, mm-hmm. that's the point. It's supposed to be a safe space for women. But again, when the few women in the group get all up in arms and mad at me because someone else took a screenshot, I'm like, yeah, it's the internet.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
yes, if you can send me a screenshot of proof of somebody saying, yes, I took that picture and I sent it to so-and-so, I'll ban them. But I can't stop them from rejoining under a different name and claiming they trained at a different school. Like, I'm not the FBI. Right. I can only do so much. And it bothers me. It makes me sad. It makes me upset. And so as a result of that, I opened up the ability for folks to make anonymous posts. I felt like it would help let women share their issues without necessarily the blowback. But initially when I did it, I was letting, like, I would share the anonymous post. So at first, people in the group can't read the first two words that say anonymous post, and they think it's a story about me. I get messages all the time about how I could do better in whatever situation. And I'm like, hi, it says anonymous. Okay, it's not me.
It's not me.
Oh, brutal. Reading is so hard. So I'm like, at the beginning, people would message me and want to send a message to the person who made the anonymous post, like a way to be supportive, right? Super awesome. Makes me very happy. And so I do this. And after the first week, I have no time to do anything else of my life other than play messenger right. between mm-hmm. person A and person B.
Yeah.
So immediately I was like, you know what? When you make an anonymous post, you forego the ability to get messages from other people. Like, they can post publicly in a thread, and obviously you should be following the thread, right. but I can't be a go-between. Like, I don't have that kind of time on my hands.
For sure.
So when I got rid of that, then it was better. Because now, basically, people just message me, and I look it over, and once in a while, I'll write back to them, like, does this really need to be anonymous? Like, I get you might be, like, mildly embarrassed that, like, you know, you farted while somebody was doing a drill, but, like, is this really the sort of thing that, you know? So I do try to push back, because I feel like the ability to post anonymously really should be limited to stuff like the sexual assault stuff. But also, my teammates are in the group and they'll know it's me. Or, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. I can't complain about this thing without Sally, who trains with me, knowing that I'm talking about her right. because she's the one who's being a pain in the ass. Right. So, yeah, you know, other than, you know, that sort of stuff is fine. But yeah, once in a while I get something, I'm like, no, I don't really think that needs to be anonymous. You just need to decide whether it's important to you or not and post it yourself, you know? Right. So, but yeah, no, I think overall it's been a good thing. It did have the effect of having a lot of assault stories come out at the very beginning, which I think was great, because it allowed the community to really help people that needed it. And then, of course, because there's 8,000 people, you know, there's somebody who's like, I'm tired of reading all this depressing shit about blah, 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 blah. I thought this was for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And it's like, you know what? Go find another group.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for you. We're going to let women have support here where there's a pretty awesome group of women to do that for them. So yeah, bite me. Yeah. Seriously.
We're a community. Like, that's what we do for each other, right? Like,
right. We do things other than Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We're not robots.
Exactly.
So we're going to, you know.
Yeah. So just on the follow-up of that first post that ended up going viral, have you talked to the girl that made the first post? Like, is she okay? Is she still training? Like,
I spoke to her after everything happened and I apologized to her, explained to her that was obviously not something that I would tolerate. And if I knew who did it, they would be gone.
Right.
But that this is the risk of the internet. And I've made a few posts about this, about how that, you know, the ultimate self-defense, right, mm-hmm. is not posting things on the internet because it's a public space as much as we try to keep it private. She was obviously frustrated, upset, but not at us, you know, at whoever did it. So I think she was just also a little frustrated because it was not, I don't know her personally and I didn't speak to her on the phone, but based on my interactions with her, I never got the impression that she was looking to screw over her school or the guy. It was more just, she was dealing with the aftermath of it and what should she do? And she was just looking for guidance. I didn't take it as like, we had sex and now I regret it thing,
right.
You know, which was how some of the women in the group seemed to read it. And I never got that reading on it myself. And I didn't permit them to voice that because I felt that was
right.
Just keep scrolling, right? You don't have to post on everything.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't imagine how difficult, the situation was, not from just from the first start, but just from getting attacked afterwards, you know, like from.
Correct.
From the
to be
internet.
A victim all over again,
exactly.
Right?
That's
terrible.
Rough. It's real rough. It sucks. So I really appreciate you taking on the anonymous posts and kind of helping the women have a voice in it, with it, with an additional safety net.
Yeah, so far so good, right? Knock on wood. Certainly I'm not passing anything on to anyone else. I don't know any of these people.
Right.
I'm actually, if anything, I'm honestly sort of flattered and in awe that people are comfortable telling me with their name attached what's going on and trust that I'm not going to betray them in that way. And, you know, just in case anyone's worried, I have like a 24 alphanumeric special character password to Facebook. So like I treat it very seriously that people are sending me their private stuff and act accordingly with it.
We all appreciate that. At least most of 8,000 women do.
Right.
the girls in the group do. So I appreciate that. Okay. So I once saw that you said that moving to a vegan diet was one of the best things you've ever done. Can you tell us about that? Like, what made you do it and why is it one of the best things you've ever done?
So I was a filet mignon for dinner every night kind of gal. Like, I feel like that's important to say because when people hear that you're vegan, they're like, oh, you tree hugging hippie. You've always been this way. No, I was a carnivore. I was a carnivore of carnivores all of the time. And I, you know, my first weight loss when I started BJJ, I was like 210. And I competed like 6 months later at 135, which was insane, by the way. And I would never recommend that somebody does it. I did really unhealthy things to do that. And so my weight just always sort of fluctuated. And I think a lot of people early in their BJJ careers where they see that being at a lower weight is important, but don't really understand how to live a healthy lifestyle, do a lot of like basically eating disorder type stuff where you're like binging or you're purging or you're anorexic or you're like...
Right.
People are starving themselves of calories and all of that nonsense, right? And I went down for MMA. I went as low as 115, which was, bonkers, by the way. Totally worth it because the girl was a jerk and it was fun to hit her, but totally bonkers.
I love that.
So we were like always looking for ways to, my husband has been my training dummy in terms of diets. And I was like, I would read something and I'd be like, we're going to try this diet for 2 weeks. We had one where like I followed the recipe for the salad. And it was in like this tremendous Tupperware container. And Gary's like, okay, that's for the week. I'm like, get lunch tomorrow. And it was our first time eating raw kale, either of us. And he texts me from work the next day. And he's like, kale's not so bad. And then I get another text 5 minutes later. Never mind. Still chewing. Same piece. Never mind. So like we tried all sorts of nonsense. And it got to the point where when I was fighting all the time and I was having trouble getting MMA fights, I really had to walk like 125, which is really hard for me because I am like a fat kid of fat kids. I love food so much. And so for me to walk, you know, about a good 15 pounds lower than I like to walk, I was like, okay, I got to figure out how I'm going to do this. And there's just only so much grilled chicken and broccoli a girl can eat without wanting to like never touch either of them ever again. And so at the time, my husband and I got into watching all sorts of documentaries on Netflix, and we came across Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. It was about a guy who is overweight and super unhealthy on a ton of drugs, and he juices for 60 days and loses all this weight, and now he's vegan and blah, 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 whatever. So fun. So we watched this, and we're like, all right, like that's kind of interesting. Like we'd like to learn more about that. And so we went on like a documentary binge of all things at the time. And this was 2015, I want to say. And I was getting ready for PANS. I was going out there with two friends that wanted to do it. And I didn't really care about it because I still didn't train very much in the gi. But I was like, well, if I'm going, I might as well compete because why not? And if I'm going to compete, I might as well do feather because it's brutal. And that was the dumbest thing I've ever done. I had to be so low all the time because of the mat sideways. It's totally not worth it. And so we watched all of the documentaries. And I said to Gary, I was like, when we get back, let's try 2 weeks of this vegan thing. And he's like, I don't know, turkey bacon. I'm like, yep, I know. But like, let's try. And so, you know, we get home and we did a bunch of research and decided that because we had a lot of processed food in our diet, so we would do 5 days of just straight juicing. And then we would do 2 weeks of veganism. We wanted to clean our palates, clean our systems, and then launch into it rather than like be super crazy for foods while we were just trying the new diet.
Yeah.
The juicing was super hard. Gary is not addictive. I am very addictive. And by day four, he was like, just one piece of bread. Oh, and I was like, yeah, no. We have one more day to go. And the juices were terrible. They were like beet, ginger, orange. And, oh, brutal. So I don't know what we were thinking, but whatever. So then we did 2 weeks of veganism. And I have to tell you, we both lost 10 pounds.
Dang.
We both felt awesome. I mean, awesome. Energy levels through the roof. Mental clarity felt great. And we're just like, you know, there's no way that all of this is just from this change, you know? So we were very skeptical of it. But the longer we stayed on it and the longer we felt that way, the less we found ourselves wanting meat. So we are not vegans for ethical reasons. So that's important to us. We're vegans for selfish reasons. We feel better this way. So we eat this way. And you eat what you want to eat because I understand biology is biology and we're the top of the food chain. So if you want a cow, you go get yourself a cow and that's fine. And so like over time, we just stayed off it longer and longer. And we're now at the point where like even watching, you know, the cooking shows, MasterChef, Top Chef, because I like watching people get yelled at. It doesn't even look appetizing. Like, I'm just not interested. I remember eating it. I remember it tasting good, but I don't want it.
That's good.
And there are like every once in a while, like I'll see something that I used to really like Wendy's chicken nuggets. Right. And I'm like, nobody's like stopping me. I mean, all of my non-vegan friends would be thrilled if I had a Wendy's chicken nugget. But other than that, there's no major consequence to me having one.
Yeah.
I just don't. I never pull the trigger on it. I never get to the point of being like, yeah, let's do it. When we vacation vegetarian because it's almost impossible to do vegan on vacation. And so then I'm like Pizza Hut all day, every day, get in my belly. I love Pizza Hut. But yeah, you know, like, and we're not 100% vegan because I don't like agave. So I make banana oatmeal pancakes for breakfast every morning and I drizzle honey on them. So it's like, real vegans don't consider me a vegan, but meat eaters aren't willing to accept me into their crowd. So, you know, here I am.
Okay. So first I have to tell you that Wendy's chicken nuggets are not very good. So don't feel like you're missing anything there. and is, I find it funny, like, that when we don't do something that our friends do, that they feel somehow like, you know, like you said, your friends would celebrate if you ate a chicken nugget. Like, isn't it weird that people like just want you to be like them in some way? Like, you know.
So over time, Gary and I have come to the conclusion that though we call those people friends, they're probably not.
Yeah.
Right. Like if it's important to me and I feel good doing the thing that I'm doing, even if it's different from what you're doing, if it's not affecting you directly, then like, why do you care? What's the problem? And if you're wishing for me to fail, are you really part of my tribe? Because I'm kind of thinking you're probably not,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, I was listening to a podcast this morning where they were talking about like how people that push food or drink on someone else, like why they do it. And they were saying, you know, like, well, if I offer you a drink and you don't take it, then I feel like the rest of us aren't going to have as much fun because you're not drinking. And
right.
I was just appalled. Like, I just thought it was so awful. Like, how are you? You're not a friend. Like, that's like, correct. You know, I just thought that was.
I think that's the only conclusion you can draw,
yeah.
Truthfully.
Yeah, it's a very good point. So I just couldn't believe listening to it and like hearing everybody give their reasoning of why. And it was all very self-centered. You know,
selfish.
It is.
Yeah, it's
selfish.
All totally selfish.
Yep, it's how it makes them feel.
I have an actual friend, like one that is supportive of my life endeavors, mm-hmm. who is actively dieting and has a family member who will like a spouse that will consistently push dessert.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm trying to lose weight. And the spouse is like, oh, you're no fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, F you, buddy. Like, come on. Yeah. That's not cool.
I have family members that are vegan and vegetarian, and it's astounding to me how many other family members try to get them to eat meat. Like, all the time. Like, it's fine. It's just chicken. You can eat it. Like, well, they don't eat meat.
We had to have a long talk with our parents because my son, he eats meat still. And I'll buy like, for the most part, actually at my house, he probably doesn't really have any. He uses like Amy's frozen meals because he's a teenager and doesn't want to socialize with his parents. And other than that, like we have a couple of breakfast burritos in the freezer that probably do have meat in them. So he likes when I cook a meat-free dinner, he will eat with us.
Yeah.
My daughter, she came into the world, I was vegan through pregnancy, well, vegetarian, you know?
Right.
And so eats like we do. You know, look, when we go camping and we eat out, I will knock down a grilled cheese like nobody's business. And baby girl will knock down a grilled cheese right alongside me. But when we're home, she eats brown rice with, you know, broccoli and black beans. And it's heavily seasoned with like cayenne. And she's all about it, you know? And so we have a long talk with family. We're like, do not put meat in our child's hands. If you do, you will not see child.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, exactly. You need to respect us as the parents. Like, don't give my kid hot
right.
dogs.
My pediatrician's on board with what I'm doing. I make sure that the doctor is aware and we discuss exactly what we eat to make sure we're covering all of the food groups. Thankfully, I do have enough, you know, educational background to make sure that we're well balanced in those aspects. And we see our doctors once a year and get the proper lab test to make sure that, you know, we're doing everything right.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. You know, and it's funny because I would post pictures of like the crazy food because I was that obsessive mom that like made the food from scratch because I have all that spare time in my day to
yeah,
do that.
What else are you doing?
And like his mom would post something to Facebook and one of her friends would be like, get that kid some chicken nuggets. And it's like, ugh, for real, dog. What are you doing, man? You're killing me.
Yeah.
Right. Like we're giving her healthy food. She's like, you know, in the correct place on the growth charts. We're not going to have her have an unhealthy relationship with food like I did.
Right.
We're not teaching her she can't eat crap. We're just trying to teach her that most of the time you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right?
And
that's all.
That healthy food is delicious. You know, like you're not teaching her, ew, gross. This is broccoli or, you know, like, yeah.
Right. We're not like, okay, no meat and also no seasoning.
Yeah.
That's the diet we follow. That's not how it goes at all.
Right. Jillian, we have one more quick thing. We usually try to leave our gang with an on-the-mat tip and an off-the-mat tip. Do you have one for either of those?
Beyond don't be a... Okay. So I would say that my on-the-mat tip is not technique-based, but is just a reminder that your journey is your journey. And comparing yourself to other people will only make you miserable and resentful towards them and will damage your relationships with your teammates. Be happy when your teammates are promoted and be happy when you're promoted. And if you don't have people supporting you, then find better people to hang out with.
I love that.
For off the mat, probably all of that applies.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that for off the mat, the big thing that we've been working on in our house is realizing that we don't need as much as we think we need. And many of the things that we thought we needed were just things we wanted. And we're finding that by decluttering our lives of all of this non-essential stuff, we're much happier all around.
That's great. I love both those. Thank you very much. Yeah. We appreciate that. It's been a blast talking to you. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Yeah, you bet. Can I plug my open mat?
Please do. Plug your open mat. Okay. Give us any, like, you know, social media you want people to follow you on, anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, social media. Spend less time on social media. That's my advice to everybody. I would have already uninstalled Facebook if not for the group. I feel like, you know. So once a month in Central Jersey at my husband's school, Brazen Martial Arts, we host a ladies open mat for 2 hours, 1 hour gi, 1 hour no gi, but we invite folks to come who train only one or the other, and we will accommodate you either way. We are a kid-friendly space. People bring their children. They're on tablets. Up front, we have a sitting area. Like, we love ladies. We play obnoxious music. We talk crap, and we have a good time. And if you don't like rolling in a library, you'll probably really enjoy our open mat.
Perfect.
It's pretty ridiculous.
That's awesome.
We rotate our weekends because we try to be aware of the tournament schedule in the area. So I do once a month, and it's always a Sunday from 12 to 2, but the Sunday itself tends to rotate. So the easiest way for people to get in touch with me is either to shoot me a message on Facebook and or friend request me, and I'll just put them on the invite list when the event goes out, and then that way they'll get it.
Great, great. Thank you very much. I'm going to try and make a trip out there. We drive to New York a few times a year to do seminars and stuff like James does. So I'm going to try and make it a trip where we can do a seminar and then come through and do your open mat.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that. You let me know in advance too when you're coming out this way, and I can look ahead to that month, because I usually do them on a month-by-month basis, but I generally have an idea of when they're going to be well in advance. I just don't like to put too much information on the internet. Like, here are the next 72 open mat dates. And people are like, my head's going to explode, you know? So.
Perfect. We appreciate you very much. Thanks for all you do for the women's jiu-jitsu community. And it was great to talk to you today. So that was so much fun. I had a blast. I had a blast doing that. I'm so glad that she was able to come on.
Me too.
She's amazing and hilarious. I'm sure editing will be a ton of fun because just the you know, we try to keep it somewhat PG-13. So she might use some words that we don't. So, but I really liked, like, she said a lot of things that we talk about a lot on the podcast,
yes,
which I think is great. She talked about it being your journey,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, you get to choose who you want to compete against or roll against. I mean, you know, you get to choose if you don't want to, right? And say, like, I'm not going to compete against that person. And that's fine. But don't be a jerk about it.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. She talked about not comparing yourself to others.
Oh, my.
Which it wasn't that long ago that we did an episode on that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, celebrating your teammates when they get promoted, celebrating yourself when you get promoted. Like, I just love that. That's some stuff we've been talking about. So that's really good.
I think this is probably one of our longest, this might be the longest episode on record so far.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people ask us for longer episodes.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, we don't want to ramble, right?
Right.
We don't want it to be something where you're like, oh my God, they're still talking. But I think this was very engaging and enlightening and educational. And I just used a lot of E words.
It was all of those things.
It was all of them, though.
Yeah.
But so I think, you know, I think it's going to be, I think everyone's going to really enjoy it, and hopefully they'll share it with a friend. Shout out to all the Women's Grappling Network ladies that have, that maybe this is their first episode of them getting to hear us. So go back into the archives, check out some of the old episodes. Episode 6, which is The Downward Spiral, is one of my favorites for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some on competing and comparing yourself to others. And yeah, so just, you know, go back, dive in a little bit into the catalog, and hope you enjoy it.
And if you want more, you can also go to our YouTube channel, Beauty and the Gi Podcast. So the podcasts are available there. So if you have a friend and they're like, I don't know how to do this podcasting thing, send them the link to YouTube, because
everyone
people will listen to podcasts on YouTube. And we're going to be adding some videos on there as well. So we are really looking to grow that channel and just have it as another place. We all need more jiu-jitsu in our lives, right? So more. And you can also hang out with us on Instagram. You will find us there at Beauty in the Gi Podcast. I'm also there as Brassy Broad Jen, and typically post a lot of pictures of Finley, the Fintern, the sweetest dog ever.
She's so sweet. And I'm AJ Klingerman on Instagram, now that I know my name, AJ Klingerman. It's not that hard. Sorry. And I also, most of my pictures are jujitsu, but I do have a very handsome Doberman named Moose.
Yes.
Which I love to post pictures of as well.
Yeah. So find us out there, send us a message, and just introduce yourself. Say hi.
Yeah. Let's be friends.
And we will see you on the mat. Welcome to Beauty and the Gi. The
I was like, great, she's got this.
Got it. Right. What are we?
And I'm AJ Klingler. Whoa, good Lord.
Who are
What's
you?
My name? I can't say your name. Let's try again.